What's up, everybody? Good morning and welcome to our Sunday morning online Water's Edge worship experience. We're so thankful and glad that you've tuned in today. So for everyone who's continuing to tune in, thank you. For everyone who's continuing to be generous to help us love people and serve people, to pull off Food Pantry Sundays like you saw last Sunday. Really cool. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for hanging in there. As soon as our roof gets finished, we're going to open up the doors and make plans to come back in here and see you in person. So please hang in there with us. Man, we're just waiting on some of this stuff to get finished construction-wise. And so, man, once we do that, we're going to be super excited to see your faces again. Man, I cannot wait to preach to you from this stage in person. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you in the name of Jesus. We absolutely love you and we thank you for loving us and we thank you for your grace, how it moves towards us, how it moves towards our needs and it moves towards our emptiness and it moves towards our concerns and our fears and our anxieties. We love you, Jesus, and we need you to speak to us today. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You know, so for some people, the only reward that they're ever going to receive in this life is the temporary attention that they get by making very bad, regrettable choices in order to chase that attention. When it's God who's always watching us, and it's God who's always looking at us, and it's God who always wants to give us love, and it's God who always wants to give us relationship, and he always wants to give us his presence and intimacy and grace. He always desires us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, this is what the missionary Paul says about God's grace. In fact, this is one of the greatest definitions of God's grace in the New Testament scripture. Notice what he says out of the New Living Translation. For you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he might make you rich. Before Jesus came to this earth to sacrifice everything for us, to sacrifice his life for you and I, he had everything. He had heaven. He had peace. He had protection. He had safety. He had the presence of the Father. He had the streets of gold, being serenaded by angels every single day. And he left all of that richness, all of that peace, all of the safety of heaven. He left all of that richness to come here, to come be with us, to pursue us, to love us, to teach us, to forgive us, to die for us, to change our life, to give us guidance, to give us purpose, to give us a reason to wake up and live. Why? Paul says right here is so that you and I could experience the richness of a different life. The reason why Jesus left all of that richness, the richest of heaven, to come here to pursue us is so that you and I could experience the joy and the richness of a new life and a changed life and a different life, a life of purpose, a life of forgiveness, a life of peace, a life of love, a life of empathy, a life of doing good for others, a life of restoration, a life of pursuing God. That's why he came. The decisions that you're in the middle of making right now are one day going to write a story. They're going to write a story about your life. And so the choices that you're faced with right now, big choices, little choices, sudden opportunities that you were not prepared for or ready for. Right now, you're in the middle of making choices and decisions. And those choices and decisions are going to be reduced to one thing, a story, the story of your life. That's why we have to make sure that we're writing a good story. The question is, are you writing a good story? Which leads us to another question. And this is the question that I really want us to focus on today. So if you're still with me, say I'm still with you. And notice this. Is there something or someone in your life right now that you're holding on to that is worth all the space that it's taking up in your life? So there's something or maybe someone or maybe a circumstance or an excuse or a habit or a temptation or whatever it is, and you're holding on to it. Whatever you're holding on to, whoever you're holding on to right now, is it worth all the space that it's taking up in your life right now? You know, I've moved in the past 10 years 15 times from apartments to rent houses to single wides and trailer parks, back to apartments, back to rent houses, back to apartments, and then finally in the house that we're in now. And when we moved into the house that we're in now, before we moved in, I had 6 trash bags full of junk that I had to throw away. In fact, every time I've moved, I've always had to throw away stuff that we've held on to that was just taking up space. And so every time I'd get ready to move, I had to look in closets, look in drawers, look in the attic, look under the bed, look in all kinds of places, and we would find stuff that at one time we thought was crucial, stuff that at one time we thought that we needed and that we wanted, and we probably did. But then there came a time when it wasn't so crucial anymore, and we just set it aside, but it was taking up a room. And so when we got ready to move and change, we had to get rid of that stuff that we didn't need in our life anymore that was simply taking up space. At one time, those shirts. At one time, those shoes. At one time, those receipts. At one time, all those graduation cards and birthday cards and Christmas cards. At one time, those kids' toys and those pets' toys, those old remotes and those old books that you never read anyway. At one time, we thought we had to have this and this was so crucial, and then we just put it away and we never got rid of it when we didn't want it or need it anymore, and it just started taking up space. At one time, I wanted this, but now I don't need it anymore, but you're still holding on to it. It's still there. You're still holding on, and it's still taking up space in your life that could be filled with something else. There are so many things that God can do for us in our life right now, so many things that he offers us. Rest from guilt. Man, I love that about Jesus. It's one of the reasons why I would never go back to my old life, because it was too much guilt there. When I followed Jesus, he gave me rest from guilt, rest from shame, rest from regret, rest from always looking over my shoulder, afraid of the consequences of the last bad decision that I just made, rest from anxiety. He gives us forgiveness, grace, encouragement, love, and joy. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor so that we, through his poverty, might be rich. That's grace. But are you making space for God, God's love, God's presence, and God's grace in your life right now? So in light of all that, let me share just a few real life practical observations with you to help you make more room for God and God's strengthening grace in your life. The first one is this: if you're still with me, Sam's still with you. Make room in your life to become more like Jesus. If you say that you're a Christian, if you say that you've given your life to Jesus and you follow Jesus, then being Christ-like should be a value, and it should be the top priority in your life. An intentional focus on being more like Jesus in our attitudes. Attitudes are everything. Being more like Jesus in our words, being more like Jesus in our conversations, being more like Jesus in our actions and in our sudden reactions, being more like Jesus in our relationships, being more like Jesus in our communication, being more like Jesus in our grace for others, in our patience for others, and being more like Jesus in our decision-making, because those choices are writing a story, will always leave you with more room for God and God's sustaining grace in your life. So number one, if you want to make more room for God in your life, then make being like Jesus a value and a priority. The second thing is this: make room for change. If you follow Jesus, guess what? He's always going to lead you to change, because there's always going to be things in our life that absolutely need to change. Listen, we have so many things that we allow into our life that can hurt us and hurt others. And you and I are masters at making excuses and justifying why we hold on to those things. We can make ourselves feel good about it. We can make ourselves feel better about it. We love to come up with justifications why we did this, why we tried this, why we said this, why we hid this, why we kept this a secret, why we lied about this. We can always come up with a reason. We can always come up with an excuse. But if it hurts you and it hurts others, there's no way to justify hurt. There's no way. So make change from God in your life a value, something that you don't resist, but something that you embrace. Number three, make room for servanthood. Jesus served the helpless and the outcast. Jesus served the hurting and the hungry. Jesus served the ordinary people and those people that never, ever fit in. Jesus served the marginalized, the oppressed, and the confused. Look for opportunities to be Christ-like. Look for opportunities to serve God how? By serving others. Look for opportunities to serve God how? By serving others. And when you do, the presence of God and the grace of God will rush into your life, because now you're making room for him. You're making room for God in your life. Number four, and lastly, is this: make room for new beginnings. And so we come back to our original question, the question that's at the heart of this message that I'm teaching you today. Again, this is what it is. Is there something or someone in your life right now that you're holding on to that's worth all the space that it's taking up in your life right now? If it's not worth the anger any longer, if it's not worth the pain any longer, if it's not worth the cost any longer, if it's not worth the tension any longer, if it's not worth the guilt any longer, if it's not worth the exhaustion any longer, if the space it's taking up in your life right now just isn't worth it any longer, then make room for God by making room for new beginnings in your life. God's grace for us has the richness of new beginnings in our love. God's grace for us has the richness of new beginnings for our future, for our family, for our relationships, for our circumstances. And so what patterns, what habits have you justified? What justifications, what grudges, what bitterness, what memories, what secrets, what heartache, what choices are you making space for in your life that you're holding on to? Because at one time in your life, you just thought, this is so crucial, I have to have this. But then you realize, this is hurting me and hurting others. I need to let go, but you're still holding on. You're still holding on. So what is it in your life that's not worth it any longer, that's taking up space that you must let go of? Face it, let it go. Because if you do, you'll be making more room for God in your life. A few years ago, after I found out that I had multiple sclerosis, I had an MS flare-up. And when you have an MS flare-up, that means your medicine isn't working all that good, so you have to go into the hospital and get a steroid IV infusion. So I was in the hospital for about 8 days, getting 1,000 milligrams of steroids just pumped into me every day. I couldn't leave, couldn't go anywhere. My heart rate slowed down. I was on all kind of monitors, so people would come visit me. And one day, my dad and my son Jagger were up there visiting me in the hospital. And before Jagger was getting ready to leave, he said, "Daddy, I want to lay with you." Well, you know, if you've ever been to a hospital or laid in a hospital bed, there's only room for one person. But it was my boy. It was my son. And he wanted to be close to me, and I wanted to be close to him. And so this is what I had to do simply for him to get close to me. I just had to move over. I just had to make space for him to lay his head on my chest and for me to wrap my arms around him. The half-brother of Jesus says this in James chapter 4, verse 8. "Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, and don't let your loyalty be divided between God and this world." If you really want to make room for God in your life, the first step is simple. Just let go of some things and move over. Say, "Tony, I want God. I want God to have more of me." Simple, the first step. Let go of some things and move over. And you know what? We can all do that today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. Have a great week. Don't forget to tune in next week.
Pastor Tony gave an excellent message today. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. If you're moved by the message or you want to connect with the church through social media, make sure to hit us up on Facebook at Water's Edge Gathering and on Instagram at Water's Edge_LC. And go to your app store and download the Water's Edge Gathering app so you can do online worship, listen to online messages from Pastor Tony, and you can also do online giving. We hope you guys have a great week. We absolutely love you.